Pastor Jeff Johnson with an essential for revival.
Now, every revival throughout history is linked to the rediscovery of the Word of God. Every revival, I don't care how many you study and go back into the history of the church, every one of them is all around the Word of God. Why? Because this book brings revival. This book brings cleansing. This book gets God's people together, and they begin to understand and get it.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's said if we want revival, we need to get into the Word and get the Word into us. Without the Word, revival won't come. We'll be getting into the Word today on Sound Doctrine, and we're praying it gets into you. No doubt that's your prayer as well. Last time, we heard how worship was being restored, another key to revival. Here's Pastor Jeff with more from 2 Chronicles. We're in chapter 34, starting right here in verse 11.
Those that are artists, they come in with their special gifts, and the builders gave they it to buy hewn stone, special stone, from out of the area to bring it in. The timber for the couplings and to the floor of the house, which the kings of Judah had destroyed. So the place was a mess. It was all ripped up. They had so many statues and weird things in there, and it was let go. Idolatry was all around. And the next verse says, and the men did the work faithfully. These men were dedicated to God to do that which is right, and that is to bring back God into their nation, into the temple. That's where God lived. Remember the pillar? He sat over that Ark of the Covenant, and they wanted to see this all happen again. So God's anointing was on these workmen, and may God anoint our mechanics these days and quit ripping us off. And these construction guys that said, oh yeah, I can come in and do this for so much, you know. No, God, just anoint them. Give them wisdom and help us to find those and really look for those that are anointed of you and that have the gift. And they're not, you know, out just for the buck. And they're proud of what they do. Take pride in it and say, look, you know, God gave me these hands and I was able to do that. To God be the glory. So they did it faithfully, and the overseers of them to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. All of a sudden, here's music in the situation. Now skilled musicians would come in as they're working. Hey, that helps, doesn't it? Hearing a little music, hearing a little worship as you're doing your whatever, as you're on the freeway, stacked up, you know, worshiping the Lord. Man, turn it on. And these guys were anointed, and they made sure that the leadership was effective. They set the right guys in the right place. And then over in Psalm 22, verse 3, let me read it to you. Psalm 22, verse 3, he says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel, or his people. Every time we come in here and we worship the Lord, he inhabits those praises. He just anoints that worship. Because we've never seen him. We don't know. We've never seen him face to face. And here we come into a place like this, and we begin to worship him. And we praise him. We don't worship idols. We worship the one true living God, who created all things. And we give him the glory. And he deserves every bit of it. For he is worthy. He gave us the Lamb, Jesus his only begotten Son to die on that cross for us. And so we worship him. So God uses worship to speak to us, to calm us, to minister to us, to prepare our hearts for the engrafted word, to give us his word. So verse 13, also they were over the bearers of burdens and were overseers of all that wrought the work in any manner of service. And of the Levites, there were scribes, officers, and porters. So we're talking about a whole body ministry, a whole bunch of people that got together and used their gifts together to see this happen, to see the Lord's work done. But you know, they first had to cleanse their own hearts. You first got to just say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've been doing. I'm sorry for living the self life, the flesh life, and thinking I was right and that I'm all that and I know what's going on when you don't. You humble yourself before the Lord. You let him lift you up and him to minister to you so he can minister through you. Because in a hotshot attitude, how can he use you? Humble yourself. Cry out to him. He wants to use us. And so they started to do what God wanted to do. And all of a sudden, something very interesting happens. They discover the Word of God. God started this revival, and oh, God knew that they needed his word more than anything else. Over in Psalm 119, let me just read a few verses to you. Psalm 119, in verse 9, it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And he says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. How are we going to cleanse ourselves? No, we don't cleanse ourselves. The word cleanses us. God convicts us. God causes us to confess our sins. And as we do that, the word is cleansing us. Remember he says, and you are clean through my word, which I have given unto you. So the cleansing power of the word. And then he says in verse 11 of Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. So you take the word and you hide it within your heart. You're actually feeding on the manna, and you take it and you take it in and you meditate on it. Blessed is that man that meditates on the word day and night. He's going to be like that tree planted by the river of water. And in a season, hey, he's going to have green leaves and shade for others. And whatsoever he does, what? Prospers. It's a blessing. And then that final verse here is Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I mean, it just goes on and on and on in Psalm 119. It's all about the word. And the word lights our way. The word directs us. The word helps us to know what we're to do. So, verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 35. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, here's everybody's giving. They're giving. They're not selfish. They're giving. They're giving to the temple. They're giving to the Lord. They're giving to the health of the nation, spiritually speaking. They're all a part of it, coming together. And look what God does when you begin to start letting go and give. It says that Hilkiah, the priest, found a book of the law of the Lord. Of course, many believe that was Deuteronomy. They found the scriptures. It was buried in the floor. It had been hidden from all the stuff that was going on. You see, the Jews do that quite a bit. They take the scriptures. It's very, very holy, and they are very careful to cleanse themselves before they write anything. And I'm telling you, the latest finds, turn with me. We got one more verse, but turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. I want to show you something about the word. Nehemiah chapter 8. Come on, I don't hear any pages. Nehemiah 8, verse 1. Now, lately, there's been some incredible finds, and we know this, that it's in L.A. right now. The finding of the Dead Sea Scrolls, there in the Judean wilderness, overlooking the Dead Sea. A group of Essenes lived there. They believe that John the Baptist lived there. And these are the type of people that's all they do is spend interpreting the word, bringing it and writing it down on the scrolls, and then they hid them. Why? Because they were under attack constantly, especially when the Romans were coming down from Jerusalem in 70 AD and coming through that area. So they hid them. A couple guys were going after their sheep. One of their sheep fell into a hole. And there's all kinds of holes out there in the desert. And they were looking for their sheep and found the sheep. And when they got into that little cave, they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Incredible. The whole book of Isaiah, 1,100 years older than what we had found. 1,100 years. When they opened it up, they put it beside the book of Isaiah that we have in our laps, and it was word for word correct. And people say, oh, they can't hold on to that. They can't keep that correct. It's all messed up. It was written by men. No, it was written by the Holy Spirit, who directed the men and kept it holy. 1,100 years. And then we're up in Masada, and we're walking around. We came to the oldest synagogue in the world was built on Masada. And it was after, you know, Herod was gone and that was all removed. They built a synagogue up there, very small. And in that synagogue, as they began to unearth it, they went to the back of the synagogue and dug down, and they found Ezekiel, Daniel. I mean, incredible scriptures. You can imagine, you're on that flat plateau of Masada, and you find it. You could hear the screams all over the place. We found the Word of God. It's ancient scripture, word for word, of what Ezekiel was saying and Daniel. Again, they find these things all the time. I would really encourage you to go see the Dead Sea Scrolls. Your mind's going to be blown. It's available right now. You can call and get hooked up and go down there. And they also have a lot of other stuff as far as the Holy Land. So check that out. Okay, Nehemiah chapter 8. And it says, all the people gathered themselves together as one. So they all came together, and they wanted to get into the word. So they came together as one. And then they yelled out at the end of that verse, bring the book. The law of Moses. We want to hear the Bible. And the last part of verse 2, it says, and all that could hear with understanding were ready to listen. Evidently, the kids were taken care of. We need to pray for our nursery workers, our Sunday school teachers. You know, they do that Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday, and they pour into those kids the scriptures at their level. Every once in a while, I think we need to pray for them. Ask God to continue to bless them and give them a hunger to minister to those little creatures. Because, you know, when you get them finally, you know, hopefully they're calm. But, you know, kids can be kids. And we're in here in a teaching atmosphere. We're blessed. And they're taking care over there. But they're delivering the word to them on that shelf that the kids can reach out to. So those of you that, you know, are watching me right now in the overflow room with your kids, that's not where they should be. They should be in Sunday school. And they're going to get so much more out of that. Even in here, I've talked with the parents that bring them in at 10 years old, 11, 12. They shouldn't be in here. It's going to pew right over their heads. They need to be in Sunday school with the same age kids. But anyhow, that's just a side note. So the kids were probably taken care of, because only those that can hear with understanding were there. And verse 3, they read in the book. And before the Watergate, interesting, Watergate, that was back then too. From the morning till midday, you talk about me being long-winded. Remember the Apostle Paul, as he was there teaching in Acts chapter 20, there was a guy sitting up on the second floor, and he was sitting on the window there, and Paul would just keep going and going and going, and the oil lamps were burning, and it was so full of that oil smoke, and the guy's up there just kind of weaving, and Paul's going on and on and on, and he wouldn't stop. And the guy just gave up and just fell back. Two stories, hit on his head, dead. You can read it later on, Acts 20. Paul said, "What happened? The guy just fell out, man. You should have kept it short." No. He ran down there. He jumped on that guy's body and said, "In the name of Jesus, this is not going to happen on my watch. Lord, hear my cry." And that man rose up and he was alive. Unbelievable. So these guys really got into reading the word. Those that could understand, and the ears of all the people. Notice it was just those that could understand. And the people were attentive to the book. Now, verse 5. Ezra opened the book. And then it says at the end of that verse, all stood up. All the people stood up. They reverenced God. They reverenced the word. And that's why we stand up when we read the Psalms. I have everybody stand. It's a reverence for the word. And then we read the Psalm. I have guys coming up to me after the service saying, "That psalm totally ministered to me." And I said, "Well, what about my message?" But psalms are awesome. They do. They minister. And Ezra blessed the Lord and great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen." And with lifting up their hands, look at, here go, now the hands are going up. I saw you guys tonight. You were worshiping the Lord with your hands up. And what blesses me is when I go into the junior high and high school chapels and see their hands lifted up and them worshiping him. They're getting it, guys. They're getting it. They're in love with Jesus. They want to worship the Lord. So they're lifting their hands and they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord their God, faces to the ground with adoration. And then it says in the bottom part of verse 7, they caused the people to understand. Verse 8, so they read in the book of the law of God distinctly. They read it very clearly, and they gave the sense of it. This is what God is saying because of this, this, and this. And it ties it all together. They gave the sense, and they caused them to understand the reading of it. And so they were actually understanding what God was saying to them. It was clear. They were able to now be obedient to it. And the people, notice verse 9, at the very last, the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Conviction. They were busted. And that's okay. That's what we need. Lord, convict us. And they wept. And the last verse of verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's our strength. Joy in him, worshiping him. And then finally, verse 12, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great joy, mirth, having great time, man, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And they had great gladness, and they just went on. I mean, that right there is what is happening now. Let's go back to our text. There in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 14, that's what's taking place here. And then verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, "Hey, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." Do you remember when David said, I was coveting after the rich, and I just thought, you know, I'm loving God. And it's not helping me. I'm getting more trials than anything. Why should I love God and get trials when I can just be rich? I want to be rich like them. They never have a bad day. They never get sick. You know, David started to talk very fleshly of what he thought was going on in their lives because they had money. Come on, give me a break. But then David said, I went into the sanctuary of the Lord. And there I understood, and I stopped griping. I stopped coveting. I said, oh God, in any moment they could die a Christless death. And it's not what he said in the Old Testament, but in any moment they could die and go into total devastation. They'll just slip off into an eternity without God at any moment. And he began to intercede for them. He began to pray for them. And how did he get that mindset? He came into the sanctuary of the Lord. When we come here and we listen to God's word, God gives us his word. And it has its effect on our lives. We begin to see it all fall together. We begin to repent. We begin to say, yes, I've been very selfish. Yes, I've been in the flesh. And I need to repent of that. I need to get back in line with God. I need to get into the will of the Lord. and not in my own way, my own thing. That'll destroy us. But the Lord gets our attention when we go into the house of the Lord. Now, every revival throughout history is linked to the rediscovery of the Word of God. Every revival, I don't care how many you study and go back into the history of the church, every one of them is all around the Word of God. Why? Because this book brings revival. This book brings cleansing. This book gets God's people together, and they begin to understand and get it. Someone said this, I think it's true. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. I'll say that again. A Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to a person who isn't. God's Word is our strength. It's our hope. It's all we need to get us by. But we got to get into it. We can't just carry it in your back seat and just leave it back there. Oh, it's time for church. I'll grab it. Maybe I'll open it. I don't know. Maybe I'll have a mark in it. I don't know. We need to become disciples. Disciples are teachable and they're trainable and they seek the Lord first and His righteousness. This is the Lord. This is His righteousness. And all things will be added unto you. Amen?
You're listening to Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and we've been learning how revival is linked to God's Word. This message, called Revival with the Word, is part of our study in 2 Chronicles. Now, you can request a copy of today's study on CD when you give us a call, toll-free, 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. And help us out by mentioning today's date. Again, when you call 800-353-7553. You can also order resource materials from us and even replay today's program at sounddoctrineradio.org. We also have an app, and that's a great way to stay connected with us and listen to some of Pastor Jeff's teachings as well. Look for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or Google Play. Our friend in the ministry, Pastor Ed Taylor, has just released a new book. It's called Face Your Fears, and the timing couldn't be better, as many are facing fears right now. This little book doesn't take long to read, but it will certainly help you move from fear to faith and trust in God. Get a copy today and maybe an extra one or two to hand out by visiting sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. Please also remember us in your prayers and in your giving to the Lord. We believe people desperately need the sound doctrine contained in God's Word in these difficult last days. And you can help us bring it to a world in need. Your generosity will help us continue on this station and others like it. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. Well, here with a brief look at what's coming up next time, Pastor Jeff.
It was just a real awesome time finding the Scriptures and then getting into the Scriptures, or rather, they were allowing God to touch them with His Word. That's what made the difference, as we're going to see. So, verse 15, Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I thought, man, that's something. You did what? I went into the house of the Lord and I found the Word. Guess where you're going to find the Word? In the sanctuary of the Lord. Remember David? Remember when he said, I was so envious, I was so racked, I was so confused, and then I finally went into the sanctuary. Then I realized God spoke to me. Then I found the Word. Then I realized they're sitting in slippery places and in a moment can be taken out into desolation. because they don't know the Lord. And so he stopped envying them and started to pray for them. You see, this is what God's word does. Changes us. Takes us out of confusion and allows us to get really focused on what God wants us to be doing. Because you can get crazy with the voices that are going on. All the many voices. There's a voice that is sweet. There's a voice that is powerful when God speaks his word.
More on hearing God's voice from God's word next time. Join us right here on Sound Doctrine as Pastor Jeff continues our series in 2 Chronicles. This program is listener supported and brought to you by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,